And praise the Lord. We're going to pass them out. That's the thing we need to start with. And those of you that are watching, if you want to follow along with us, of course, most of you that are watching are family and friends that just familiar with our website, but I'm looking for our website. There it is. And I tell you this often, you understand. It's kind of boot up here. So there's a tray at the top on my little, you know. So it says donations. If you hit that, no, you're not giving. No. What's that? I know, but it popped up. It's running slow, yeah. So anyway, you'll see. Where does it go from there, honey? For some reason, mine's not. Oh, yeah. So you hit it. If you see teachings, and then under that is prophecies, and you'll tap prophecies. Okay. And so then it just has this year's prophecies right there, January through July. And so, hallelujah. We're going to cover, starting in July 13th, so all of July, we haven't done any, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah. So we're going to cover all those. If you want to follow along with us, you can, and I would appreciate it. We don't always have to go over all these prophecies, I understand that, but let me say this. If the Holy Spirit is willing to prophesy or speak to us, I think we owe it in a very respectful way to rehearse what he has said to us. One, just because he said it doesn't mean that it's adhered to or even remembered. If I'm the one that spoke it, I'll get home on a Sunday or a Wednesday, and I don't know what I said. If you said, that was a, you know, I'll know the gist, but a lot of times I really don't know the details. You really, those of you watching and people in here, we really don't ever catch the details of it when we hear it the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's just like anything in life. The first time you hear it, you don't really catch all the details. So I would encourage you to, we've passed these out as a handout tonight, but those of you that are watching, we've said how you can look at them on our website. I would encourage you to go through these as often as possible. Do we have word precedents on this? Yes, we do, and I've read this a number of times when we have these kind of services. We're trying to catch up for 2 months now, or for a whole month, but a lot of it was said, a lot of things said in that month. But you don't have to turn there. Let me just read this to you. Paul said to Timothy, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies." Now catch this. "The prophecies which went before on thee." Before on thee. And so I'll just tell you that. And then he says that thou mayest war, that thou mightest war a good warfare. One, you have to understand that Timothy was ordained by Paul to be the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And so Paul left him there, or established him there. And, you know, we don't have scriptural numbers on this. All I can say is that I've heard from historians that have studied history that this was one of the most dominant churches in the New Testament, as the church at Ephesus. And it was tens of thousands strong. And, of course, then there's no denominations, and then there's no number of churches. So then everybody in Ephesus, if it's 50, 60, I heard Rick Renner say it was up to 80,000, I believe, strong, 60 to 80,000. It had to be a bunch, even if those numbers are not correct. But Timothy was the head pastor. And so Paul said to him that you would war with the prophecies that went before. In other words, there was something, the way that I look at this, as far as our understanding in our vernacular, Timothy had a blueprint. He had blueprint prophecies. He had blueprint prophecies, and those were prophecies that were spoken to him specifically for the purpose of helping him when he got to Ephesus. We do understand this, and I think this is, but it bears repeating, is that there was the canon of Scripture that we know as the New Testament was not written. It was in the process of being written. It's amazing to me the correlation and how perfectly that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you've got four testimonies, some of them eyewitnesses. Now, Luke and Mark were they were not apostles. Matthew and John were. So Luke and Mark had to glean a lot of their information from others and then by the direction of the Holy Spirit put it all together. But what I was going to say, the Gospels were not written like just absolutely immediately after the Lord left. Some of them were written like the Gospel of John decades after the Lord left. But so Timothy really didn't have New Testament Scripture. He didn't have that. He had Timothy, you know, he had the book of Ephesians whenever it got, you know, chronologically. I'm not prepared to go into that tonight, but the New Testament basically was being written. But Paul had to be a very prophetic apostle as well. So if you were in his services, I think you would hear prophecy quite often. Paul would teach the word, but he would also, I believe, if he did this with Timothy, I think you would you'd be hearing oftentimes Paul prophesy at the present service. And so with that, he said to Timothy that you may war, that thou mayest war with a good warfare, he says. I'm thankful, and we're going to get right into it, but I'm thankful that I go to a church where we not only recognize the written word of God as the final authority, but also we have a Lord from heaven that speaks on a continual basis. And that Lord speaks through the Holy Spirit. How terrible would it be? I'm not trying to even cast, aspersions or anything against other churches. I'm just saying, what would it be like to go to a church where you never heard the Holy Spirit give a present-day speaking prophecy or, you know, a tongue or an interpretation? I was like, oh, my God. It's like that's the well of heaven coming in fresh. And, you know, that's that river that's coming in. We want that coming in. And so we want to pay respect to the Holy Spirit. If he speaks, then we understand you're not going to get it first time, and he doesn't expect you to get it first time unless you go back individually and dig these up. You're not going to get it, and none of us would. So we're going to start. And the first one we're starting is revival, change, and intercession. So I'll tell you that I may not read all of these in everything. It may be just for you to take home, or those you're watching, encourage you to read them. But then again, I might. So we'll get started. I speak to you. There was a directive here. Spirits of infirmity, I say to the saints of God, you will live and not die. Now, I've got to be careful because I can't preach this and finish in an hour, but if I were going to war with prophecies, I would say, I would find Scripture, and I would also say, the Lord just said, I'll live and not die. I will live and not die. Do not believe the report that has come to you in recent days. That'd be another point. Hold up the banner of truth and side with the right. Side with the right, says the Lord. Side with the right, saying my word, stand on my word, things will change. They will change, says the Spirit of the Lord. Stand in my word and watch me move, says the Spirit of grace. And this is an encouragement to the intercessors. And we just keep saying how important it is for all you intercessors to stay in prayer. Keep it up, intercessors. You women and you men, your efforts are not going in vain, says the Lord. Well, we believe it, Father. You're changing things. You are changing. You're changing things. He repeats it. You're changing things three times, says the Lord. You're changing things four times, says the Lord. You're changing even the atmosphere in these services. The days ahead will be Holy Ghost services. Holy Ghost services, says the Spirit of the Lord. Holy Ghost services, Jesus services, however you want to say it, Holy Ghost or Jesus services. Kenneth Hagin used to talk about having Holy Ghost or Jesus services, just letting the Lord just take over. Holy Ghost services, says the Lord. Holy Ghost services, Jesus services will take over. What you've seen before in the past is shortly to diminish and pass away. There's a change, a climate change in the Spirit that's coming, says the Lord. I'm going to get in the pews, and I'm going to get in the seats, and I'm going to get in places that you didn't think were possible. And I love this because I so much believe that it's the atmosphere is changing, and you're going to see things. Watch your family members, your husbands. Listen, he said this early or mid-July. Your husbands are going to be saved. Your wives are going to be saved in this outpouring. Things you didn't think possible in the natural are going to take place in this outpouring, says the Spirit of the Lord. Give me praise as if these things had already done. So what I believe is so beautiful is that you're going to see things. Those of you watching, there may be some in here. Not everybody has the luxury of going home to a saved husband or a saved wife, but I'm going to tell you this. You're going to see some things about them. You're going to say, God's doing stuff. God's really doing something in their life. So let's look at this next one, tongues. This is a prophecy on July 17th. The Lord was very, very prophetic on July 17th. That service was a tremendously prophetic service. Tongues, the Word, and church. So he says here, know of certainty that there's a great harvest coming, says the Spirit of grace. That which has been hard to attain will be of great ease, and many will come into the church. The walls will be filled to capacity, says the Spirit of grace, and when you see a return of the things being done in the now church that were done in the then church, the first church, the things that were established from the very beginning, the three things. Now catch this. This is very prophetic, very. This is something that we need to pay attention to. It might sound simple, but these three things the Lord cited as something very important for church growth. You know, we don't go to church growth seminars. We're not against anybody that does. But here's where people start growing, and here's where what brings people into revival. Because the Lord's saying, once this is duplicated like it was then, you're going to see some really powerful things. Three things that caused my church to thrive was first, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Of course, what did we see on the day of Pentecost? My church was full and everyone realized the significance and stayed in the place of prayer and stayed in the place where the mysteries continued to flow through them. Secondly, number two, there was also a great emphasis in that my people loved my word. What the apostles say, you know, they not only said what their job was, but they set an example to the people to say, look, when they chose Stephen and Philip and all of those seven deacons, they said, look, we're going to give ourselves nonstop to prayer and the Word of God. Well, what kind of interpretation does that give to the people? It's important to stay in prayer, and it's important to stay in the Word of God. And then, of course, if you read through the book of Acts, I encourage you to read through the book of Acts often. You see that daily they were from house to house breaking bread and sharing the Word of God. It's very powerful. They knew that there was only growth through the power of my Word, and because of it, I expanded my church. The third thing was that they stayed in a place of gathering. They were faithful to church. Daily they met from house to house and continue to stay in the place of gathering. Satan has stolen from the church. So what three things? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and people knew right from the start, we need to stay together. We need to, you know, next. And so I've said, look, if you can't be in these four walls, please be very attentive to church online. Satan has stolen from the modern church any significance and any real significance of praying in tongues. Very few people in the church know my word. The loss of just opening up the word of God and reading it in the homes has been lost. And because of it, there's no power. The church can't get blind eyes open because there's no power or no word in their homes. They can't get the flu or COVID out of their homes because there's more TV than there is word. He didn't say that we should not watch TV. It's just by comparison what you do and what you hear and what you listen to the most. They can't get the flu or COVID out of their homes because of, okay, more TV than the word. Flu, which should be not more than just a mention of my name, it should be the simplest of all things. And because of it, there's a lack of love together because of the world has invaded and stolen the significance of how important it is together. My power has gone. It's left. It's been pushed out. I did not leave. I've been pushed out. But I say unto you that revival is among you, and it will be among those who love my word, pray in the Spirit, and find a significance together. When these things are being restored, when my people open up their Bibles in their homes outside of the church and read my word and pray and seek my face, this glory is coming. It's scheduled, but it can be aborted, says the Spirit of God. Let me talk about, just for a second, I've got to mention this. Forget the Greek. Stop being like, I want to study the Word of God. The Word tells us to study to show yourself approved. But study first is just getting into the Word of God and opening it up. And I'll tell you this. I can tell you this by years of experience. I've never testified on it, maybe right now. But I have noticed a correlation, and I haven't documented it. I've just noticed it, like this has happened time and time again. The more that I would be in God's Word, just simply reading it, just staying in it, reading it, I would find out that I would have more of my prayers being answered. And it would dawn on me, like, man, I've been deep in the Word lately. Now, that's not based on you do and I reward. That's not what that is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it would seem like, and I would go, wow, I would say within myself, like, when I prayed, it didn't seem like I put any more emphasis or felt anything. It didn't seem like I felt anything. But I would note that the more I was in God's Word, you know when things start happening. They're not coincidental. You get like five or six things in a row that happen like right away. You're like, wow, God's answering my prayers. It really is a God. But I've correlated that sometimes the more I'm in God's Word, the more those things are happening. It's because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So please forget. I don't want to say forget, but make it your first thing. Just read the Word. Just read it. Just open it up and just fall in love with it. I tell you what, a lot of times, and I'm saying this is very possible for a lot of you watching, reading the Word creates a craving. It creates a craving for more of the Word. It's like, you know, there's days I'll wake up and I was like, oh God, I just want to get into the, I want to just read it, you know, just read it. It's like cravings, you know. It's like, oftentimes I'll have a craving before I go to bed. You know, I've had supper. I know I shouldn't dive into stuff, but you got to have that half a glass of milk and a little bit of sweet something. It's just really, it'll help you. It's a craving. If you get in the Word of God, you'll create a craving. You'll create a craving. And somebody said, well, where should I get? I got to, you know, I believe that you can be Spirit led. You know, ask the Lord. I believe you can be spirit, but for God's sake, even if you don't know, I'll tell you, just open it up. If you don't know where to go, it ain't going to hurt you to start any place. Just start. That's the main thing. Most of the church never even starts. Most of the church will just let it. And so he's telling us that the church has got to start reading the Word, just reading the Word. You know, could you break down the Greek for me? Just read the Word. Just read it. Just start reading it. And so the Lord goes on to talk about how that he is among thousands and thousands, and I am to be worshipped. And so that, I believe that was a song we were singing that day, and it's, the Lord just came right after that with that form of worship. Stay in the place of prayer. Stay in the place of seeking me. Number three, this prophecy is on the 17th, and it's the second one given. Say yes to me, and I will be with you. There is a prosperity in this, says the Lord. These things are being spoken unto you, male, female, mother, sister, daughter, child, to those that will take these things and allow me to come and tailor them. I'll come to you personally because I know every single one of you. I know every single one of your schedules. But if you will say yes and not blatantly say no, because I can't do this, in other words, the expression of the person, I can't do this. If you will say yes to me, says the Spirit of the Lord, I'll come and I'll show you. I'll initiate. I'll institute. I'll be with you during the most difficult times and the driest times, and I'll bring you forth. I'll cause you to walk in great joy, ecstaticness of the love, the peace, the power, says the Spirit of the Lord. The world is waiting on you. Your friends are waiting on you. Your co-workers are waiting on you. I have no other selection. You're my choice. You're my choice, says the Spirit of the Lord. One of the things that that we should get out of this is this, that the Lord wants us to understand how intimate he is, and how that he will, if you'll just open up yourself and say, I can't do this, you know, and otherwise, instead of saying it blatantly, I can't get my schedule where that I can do this with the Lord. If you'll humble yourself, that's the thing. Humble yourself. You've got the Holy Spirit to direct you. You've got the Holy Spirit to come to you as a father. He's representing, he's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of the Father. And if you say, Lord, I just can't, you know, I can't get on track. I can't get on a roll. How wonderful it is to have a promise that the Lord is saying to us, I'll come and I'll initiate this. I'll help you in all these things. And so we give God the praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, four. Be aware of the call to intercession. So the Lord said here that we should always be in a place where we're ready. You know, once I was reading this afternoon and going back over, and the Lord was saying, at least it came to me like the Minutemen of the Revolutionary War, how that they were ready. And so the Lord says, be aware of my presence in your homes, says the Spirit of the Lord. Be a family, go about, do things like a normal family does. But when I tell you as a mother to go lay hands on your child, go and do it. Go do it. Let them feel the love of God. The oppression of this world is coming in great manner. As fathers, love your daughters, love your sons, hold them, touch them with the love of God. We're living in an age like never before that there's an assault against the family. It's incredible. The assault against the family, your kids are being at an age that is reduced down now to just middle school and below. One of the things that's the biggest method of assault is this right here: access to media, access to, I'm telling you, parents, continue to watch over your children, watch what they're watching. There, a lot of times it's innocent. We were just aware, and I don't want to get too close to the issue because I don't want it to get back, but they're not aware of this service as well. I mean, they're not part of it, but a young lady that's just probably starting middle school got entrenched, and you hear this all the time, got entrenched in some kind of chat room talk, and it was supposed to be through something. It is how is it that they get it gets under the wire? They actually, it's not Pixar. It sounds like that. It's spelled differently, and they don't even, you know, a lot of these things they'll have a rating on, and like parents will look at it and they'll say, no, that's, I don't want to. This one escaped that rating. It went under the wire, and it gets all kinds of solicitations by kids. They're actually, and some of it really is where the world's headed. Much of it is sex trafficking. It really is. And so this young lady, she was involved, and later found out they started talking to her about transgender and all kinds of stuff. It's just the Holy Spirit wants you parents to be aware, and you grandparents to be aware. Pray for your kids. Also, watch over your kids, because it's you don't even have to be flirting with it, and it comes to you. I've got a WhatsApp because I'm having to communicate with a lot of people and people overseas right now, and so I'm running on the treadmill, or I'm on the treadmill the other day, and I got this solicitation. Of course, this young lady is looking for a man between such and such to marry, and it was just past my age, or it was somewhat past my. So I jumped off the treadmill. I run in and tell Candy. She was really worried because she's sitting on the couch. I said, Candy, I said, I'm like so many years past this. And she goes, well, honey, you could tell him you look that young. So, my God, it's just, the world is crazy. And of course, that's some probably 300-pound man, 6'4", brute, trying to get crazy stuff going. The world's crazy right now. And it's not going to change anytime soon. You better pray in the Spirit over your grandkids and over your kids all the time. Amen. So the enemy has an assignment to harm, to destroy, second paragraph, but know this, that the power of prayer breaks all assignments, says the Spirit of the Lord. Don't ever get too far away from my Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, says the Lord. If I alert you right in the middle of a business deal, if I alert you right in the middle of something in the natural, and you feel my presence, dismiss yourself, go into the restroom or go outside or go someplace and get in your car, spend 10 minutes, break the power of whatever the enemy wants to do. And now he's talking specifically. Now, these are specific instructions. So there's something coming in these last days. You're going to have to really be aware. Be aware at all times that you are first in the Spirit. You're a spirit being with authority. Know of a surety that much of the things, now this is really tough right here, I understand, because we don't want to cast any condemnation. Much of the things that have happened in this nation, the shootings, the destructions in the schools, and horrible things, even to my people at times, if I had developed intercessors, these things could have been stopped. And I have never permitted anything evil of sort. In other words, God never gave his permission. Like, okay, I'm giving my permission for this shooting to take place. But in every situation, in all these types of things, I could not find the authority and the power of prayer resident to stop what I wanted to stop. So that's tough. I sure wouldn't want to tell a Christian parent that. I wouldn't. I would just, you know, we're hearing that here. But we have to understand that. We want to stop. There may be things that we've already stopped. You know, who knows? We don't know. I don't want to know. I mean, I'd rather just get to heaven and find out. Praise God. But stay in prayer, because you'll not only stop things for your own children and grandchildren, but you'll also stop things out of state and other places in the world. Now, it's the first place for the first authority comes to the region or to the parents or the grandparents or whatever. So he's again telling us, if you've got a check on the inside, like, I shouldn't send my kids to school today, don't send them to school, but pray over the school. We want to stop whatever. Never, ever, ever, never, ever be too tired. If I wake you up and you know you're under a burden of prayer, don't sleep it away. Someone's life may hinge on your prayers. It's one thing to dismiss a burden of prayer to grow. I'll always come back. But some things are momentary, and they only can be handled at the moment. I'll give you space to grow, but as intercessors, you're supposed to stop a lot of plans the enemy has, says the Spirit of the Lord. So this is very important. Man, every once in a while, I'll know in the Spirit, I got to get up. It's not my time to get up, and I need to pray. I don't want to ever think that I could have helped stop something, and I was like, you know, there's mercy, there's grace. I don't think I know no one's ever arrived, and they always do what they're supposed to do. But dear Jesus, please don't ever let me think that I really could have helped stop something. And I just said, oh, I'm too tired. Now, the too tired to get up and pray because you need to grow, that's one thing. But if you get a heavy burden in the middle of the night and you need to get up, you need to get up. So, hallelujah. And the fifth one, I will just say the word to parents in these last days. That was also another one came in that same service, and it's very descriptive. It's very much like the one we just went over. So I would encourage you to read this and go over it as well. The bottom paragraph says, "Wake up, young people. Wake up, millennials. Wake up, children. Listen. Train your children. It's so vital in these days. Train them even to be sensitive to my spirit and to call you and say, 'Come get me.' So they will call you and they will hear my voice also and follow through as you be the example to them." Be the example. Watch your words. Watch what goes on in your home. Turn off the TV. In other words, don't keep it on all the time. Put down the cell phones. Put down the book. And read my word, worship me, spend the time with me, spend the time, for the time is short. Amen. The time is short. So, we're doing really good. I think Gabe Marty's really going to be happy. Hallelujah. This is number six. And I would encourage you, if you have more time or make more time, go over some of these and use them for your own personal warring. But this one is individual obedience makes up the hedge. Now, I will tell you it's a short one. It's really one paragraph. But when I read this again today in preparation for this service, what I thought of was the tattle teller. And some of you are like, what? Well, if you remember when you were a kid and you kept tattling, or your sister kept tattling, or your brother kept tattling, your mom might say, you know what, you're just a tattletale. You know, yes, I'll correct so and so, but you're a tattletale. But here's the deal, in this one, the tattleteller is the Holy Spirit. And so we very respectfully say that, but he's telling us something to get some knowledge over to us, and let's look at it. Too many of my people assume by identification that too many of the people around them are also making up a hedge, believing that this one prays and that one prays and this one prays, and yet I have found so many gaps in my army that I'm asking you to come up and make up the hedge. Do not assume by association. Do not be deceived by association that because you associate with a church of prayer and fasting, that you yourself are a part of that message, nor is everyone around you a part of that message. But you as an individual move in and do not look to your right or to your left. Put on blinders on your eyes and say, Lord, it's not the person on my right or the person on my left, but it's you and I, Jesus. It's you and I, and it's I standing in the place of prayer. Why is this important? Why is the Holy Spirit bringing this to our awareness? Well, it's simple. He's not trying to pull us down by tattling and saying, look, there's not many people praying. What he's trying to do is encourage us is the simplicity of we hear every single service, it sounds like, I know to many, although there's a lot of doctrine going on, that it's all about prayer. And it is all about prayer in the sense of the word that it has to be birthed. But you know, you can sit in these services and you can watch these online and you can just, because you hear it over and over again, you're like, what's the deal? We're all praying and it's not happening. And the Holy Spirit's saying, no, you're not all praying. That's why I keep saying it. And you're like, you know, Candy says sometimes to me, she says to me in a good way, how many different ways can the Lord say you need to pray? It's like 50 different ways. And you can hear that message and you can think by hearing it that, well, you know, revival just isn't happening. We're all doing it. And revival's not happening, and I don't understand why. And the Lord is kind of tattling, and he's saying, no, you don't understand. There's really not that many that are really faithful at this time. There's a lot of word being preached. You're hearing it over and over and over again. But the Lord's saying, you're assuming by association that we're all just a great big bunch of praying people. And he's not wanting us to look at each other and saying, you're probably one of those. That's not what he's wanting us to do. He's not wanting us to get an attitude towards each other, but he is wanting us to answer. He is wanting to answer a question. Why has revival not taken place? Well, it's the same thing in Tulsa. It's the same thing in Jim Martin's church. It doesn't matter where you're at. There's a lot of people that have heard the message that really are not doing it. Thank God I don't know what your schedule is or really how much you do pray. But the bottom line is, if this is true, and I believe it is, and if it wasn't, if I'd never heard this prophecy, I'd have to deduce this. I'd have to deduce one thing. If prayer works, there must not be a whole lot of people really praying. At least not. I'm not talking about you being saved or not saved. I'm talking about people that are really praying heaven down, really being faithful to what the Lord has said. And so here's a tattleteller, and it's in a good way. He's saying, look, I'm not condemning you. I'm not condemning my church. I don't want you to have an attitude. But if you're wondering why it's not happened yet, really, you're all not really praying. That's the deal. You're not really all praying. So it's like, you know, why? We're all just prayer warriors. And he's saying, not really. You know, I don't want to tell anybody your name, serial number, and where, but, you know, you're not really. So, hallelujah. So that helps us in a good way. Now we're at 7. We're doing so good. Hallelujah. Power does not necessitate emotion. So this is a good one. It's a long one, but we've got a few minutes, and we'll be done on our assignment as far as I know. Hallelujah. Let me give you my background just for a minute because I want to share that going into this prophecy. Many of you heard Gary Carpenter's background and Jim Martin's background. These are guys are heroes of mine, great teachers. I learn a lot from them all the time. But they come from a Southern Baptist background, and a lot of you maybe come from a Southern Baptist or a Baptist background, and some of you watching, I think that's great. They teach a form of born again. You can certainly get born again there. They don't teach normally, unless you come from a some kind of Reformed Southern Baptist that's, you know, charismatic. They don't teach healings for today necessarily. They believe you can get healed, but it's if it's God's will. So that's their way. They often believe in eternal security. You're not going to see anybody praying in tongues. You're not going to hear any prophecies. You're not going to hear any of the gifts of the Spirit. You say, well, if I went to a Baptist church, and well, that's one in a million. If you went to a Baptist church and heard the gifts of the Spirit, that is you were at a place where that just doesn't happen. So I'm saying all that to say this. In that environment, I've been in a lot of Baptist churches, and wonderful people, love God, going to heaven, but ecstaticness or praise and worship or, let's say, dancing, you're not going to see dancing in the Spirit. You're not going to see any of those kinds of things. You're not going to see anybody lifting hardly their hands. If they do, somebody's going to come down there and put them down and say, have you gone crazy? What are you doing? So we need some order here. You might be talked to after service. So I'm saying all that to say this. I come from the other side of the tracks. I come from, if you ever have any thought about, you know, Pastor, I don't know if he is scared of running, jumping, hooping, holler, and having a good time. I don't know for sure, but I would almost dare say that nobody in here or probably hardly anybody that I'm listening to has had as much experience on the other side as I have, because I grew up in my grandmother on one side was Pentecostal Church of God. My grandmother on the other side was Pentecostal Assembly of God. And so I grew up in all the services, praying in tongues, hearing tongues of interpretation, prophecy, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I grew up in camp meetings, going to tent meetings. I grew up in people running and shouting and hooping and hollering and jumping and just Jericho marches. How many of you know what a Jericho march is? What? Yeah. That's when you all just start marching around and marching around and marching around. What are you doing? I'm not sure, but we're having a Jericho march. We're doing something here. So hallelujah. I don't know, maybe 20-something years ago when I first came here, we might have had one here. We did. Okay. Did it bring revival? No, it did not. Homer tells you, you did. Man, no, you can't keep anything secret with that guy. I've seen everything and enjoyed it, and I've seen people dance, the Holy Ghost come on them, and just, you know, we had this one brother, I loved him, boy. I'm sure he's gone on to heaven. He was many years my senior, but man, boy, you knew the service was getting good when Brother Butler took off. You knew it. Once the praise and worship got to a certain point, woo, there he goes, man. He's gone, man, and he's lapping the church, man. He's gone, and you knew that the Holy Ghost was there when Brother Butler took off, and so. I was raised in that, so I've been raised around a lot of good stuff, but I've been raised around a lot of emotion as well. I did not prophesy this out of that. I had, you know, if you prophesy out of your own intent, it's not prophecy. But if the Holy Spirit takes you over and then you hear yourself prophesying, then it's God. The Lord said, power does not necessitate emotion. Do not be moved by the things of this world, says the Spirit of grace. Well, I appreciate that. Do not be moved by the things in or out of the church, says the Spirit of grace. Look at your prototype. Who's that? Jesus. See how he moved and see how the apostles moved. They were not flashes in the pan, per se, as you would say. They were not moved by great emotion. Their services were filled with the emotion of those that were healed and those that were ministered to, as in thanksgiving. Boy, don't you think if you got healed in Jesus' services, all those people, I bet they were happy, extremely happy. But I did not need a chorus of emotion to solicit the power. Search the Scripture. And but he encourages, search the Scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See if in any of those passages you find that I had to have any kind of ecstatic exuberance, as people often feel is necessary to call and say, God has moved. And yet there will be times when this will take place. But know this, that what many believe brings my presence is often shrouded by layers of flesh and emotion that profit nothing, says the Spirit of the Lord. For those things that I have asked of you go deeper than human emotions. They go into the realms of dunamis power and the power of the Holy Spirit that changes lives. You will see dancing, glory to God, we say yes, ecstaticness and praise that will lift the roof in days ahead, because my presence will fill and the people will be healed and ministered to. But as you do, know this and discern with a sharp, two-edged sword, because Satan comes to lead astray. Know this, that nothing in the flesh, no pushing of the flesh, will ever bring about the anointing that brings forth this outpouring. Amen. So, in other words, you can't do something in the flesh and bring God's presence. So, for some, I read this afternoon, I thought, whoa, this is pretty good. This is pretty cool. For some people, in other words, for some, my son's ministry, that's where do we see that at? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For some, my son's ministry would have been too systematic for them. What does he mean by that? This is what he'd do. He preached the word, then he simply, without fanfare, healed the sick, caused the lame to walk, the maimed to be healed. There was nothing in emotion attached to it or brought my power. Do you understand? I know you do, but I'm trying to get a point across. Do you understand when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there was no praise? He ministered only to the world. We never find that John or any of those guys were worship leaders. We never find in Scripture, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, in any of those healing services, that there was ever any worship. There wasn't even any, the crowd wasn't led in worship. First, we're going to have worship. I think that's part of the church now that's been birthed. That should be done. But what I'm getting at is this. He didn't need, and if he's our prototype, he didn't need any kind of worship, no kind of dancing. I'm not against that. He didn't need anything in the emotional realm. And what the Holy Spirit said, for some people, Jesus' ministry would have been too systematic, boring. But what's boring about, after what we see from Scripture is he would teach the word, sometimes exhort or preach, and then without anybody worshiping or creating an atmosphere. We need an atmosphere, praise God, but much of my need for an atmosphere is where I'm not yet at. Because I really should be able to, in revival status, go into a cold anesthetic, kind of just like it's dead in this place, and just start doing miracles. Now that'll raise the roof. That'll raise the roof. That'll get people dancing. He didn't have people dancing first, and I'm not against that, but it wasn't a prerequisite for him to move in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to us, and I think for all of us, if we saw that to start with, you know, if we're looking through a time glass, we'd say, wait a minute, this is the Jesus? Where is he going? Where's the... He probably... Now, at times, if he's standing on a mountaintop, he's probably speaking as loud as he can to reach the crowd. But I'll guarantee you, you don't see in that Jesus, based on the Scripture that I see, you don't see any kinds of demonstrative emotion. You don't see a choir singing prior. And again, I'm not against all that. I'm just saying nuts and bolts of just teaching the word and being filled with the power of God brings the power. The rest of it's fruit. And I think he says that here. For some, my son's ministry would have been too systematic. Yeah, okay. And he says here, there was no emotion attached to it that brought my power. Only his internal walk in the Spirit with me as a father was that which produced the anointing of every moment, says the Spirit of the Lord. And yet, I've asked you to come with hearts of praise and worship and adoration. And as you do, know this, that I will come in all these things, but never ever distinguish and think that the volume of your voice or the ecstaticness of your body has anything to do with the power that will be brought forth in these last days, says the Spirit of the Lord. Let these things be a fruit and not a root. Let them be a fruit, and he says it again, and not a root, says the Spirit of the Lord. Let all things be done according to my divine description, and my description in the Word, says the Spirit of the Lord. See, he says right here in this, in the days ahead, we're going to have some services that are going to raise the roof. And there is going to be an ecstaticness, and there is going to be a dancing, and there is going to be, and as I said before, have you seen some things? You got to know, I was raised in tent meetings. I've seen them. I've seen the excess too. I've seen the rolling and the jump. You know, I've seen stuff that just like, you know, he'd have moved without all that. That you didn't need all that. So I'm none of that scares me. It doesn't scare me a bit. But what the Holy Spirit's teaching us is, we're going to move into something. Dave said that he prophesied by the Spirit of the Lord. He said this revival is going to be so powerful, but it's going to be where the finest of minds, the doctors and the lawyers, can look at it and say, God's in there. God's in there. Judges are going to be able to look at it and say, God's in that place. Hallelujah. Too many churches and too many movements have lived off emotion. They've lived off emotion, and yet after the service, now this is really good, after the service was over, they could not live in the character of Christ. What they found in exuberance in their emotions did not carry them past depressions, fears, anxiety, strongholds of the flesh, and even things of the flesh where morality was concerned, says the Spirit of the Lord. For often ministers believe that through the excitement that they bring, that they can bring the emotion, that something will be stirred inside of someone for change. But know this, says the Spirit of the Lord, the proof is in, as you would say, in the pudding. The proof is in the residue of the after. Because if, now listen to this, catch this, it's a little wordy here, but because if those things which are of this life, those things which are most emotional, or in this life, or of this life, are most emotional, if those things bring forth the strength, then the proof would be that those who live afterwards would be the giants in strength, morality, and miracles, says the Spirit of the Lord. But often what is done at church is left at the church, says the Spirit of the Lord. What does that mean? In other words, if emotion interpreted over to people being strong in morality and strong in character, then it would be proven. Like the most emotional people are the spiritual giants, and yet the Lord is saying here, see, that's the other thing too. Oh my God. We had Elaine Homer at this church one time. I love her. I heard her a lot at Pastor Dave's. We had her here one time. She was raised in Pentecost. She was raised in, from the time she was a baby and come up, and that was when women couldn't cut their hair or do anything, and she got free from all that. She got really free from all that. But she would travel with those camp meeting men, and I won't go into details. We don't need to go into details. But some of the most rip-roarest, most powerful that you would look at him and say, my God, when he takes the stage, he's Mr. Charismatic. It's just Mr. Charismatic. And she would tell story after story after story that some of those that had the most emotion and most charisma, you just don't want to know. You just don't want to know how they tried to chase her down and do all kinds of. And it would be the same thing. I've heard it. I don't even share with you guys. You don't need to know all the war stories I've heard. And most of them have been by real, not most of them, but so many of them have been by people that you would, if you set to start with, you'd be so, man, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Pastor Bronk, you need to shout a little bit more. Because that, you know, that would bring that, listen, and nobody's saying that around here. I'm not saying that. I'm just giving an example. But I'm saying some of those guys that have been world leaders in the church, the character, once they left the church, once the shout was done, you did not want to know how they treated their wives, how mean they were. I mean, devilish mean. If I would have been a woman, I'd have whooped them if I could have. Just mean, mean in character, mean to people. So what I'm saying is, and I'm not trying to run down preachers, I'm just saying the shout is not the proof in the pudding. The proof in the pudding is how you live on a daily basis. Hallelujah. So he says, I do not come, my miracles do not come in exuberance. That's not the solicitation. My miracles come in the answer of a husband to the wife and kindness, my answer. And my miracles come in how you speak to each other, one to another, in loving kindness and tender mercies apart from the church. How you speak the truth in love and will not lie. Many of you watching, and many of you, here he goes. And I don't, you know, thank God I don't even know, have any idea. I mean, as far as this is, the Lord is speaking to someone or some people, whatever, but here he gets real descriptive here. Many of you, and many of you watching, and many of you have spoken lies, and I've convicted you, and you've said, Lord, forgive me. And then I said, correct the lie. And you said, I will, but you have not. Do you not know that any time that you tell a lie, your first obligation is not only to come under the blood, but then to correct the lie to the person or to the people that you've spoken it to? Because every lie lives, and it has its own life, and will be repeated by that person to another, and your lie will be repeated time and time again. Now this is a country saying, so if you haven't, we used to say that'll cure an egg sucking dog, that'll wean you. Listen, if you go through a couple times where you obey, if you lie or tell a lie, and then the Holy Spirit said you lied to that person, well, the first thing you do is say, Lord, forgive me. And he does immediately. And then the next thing is, he'll say, well, correct it. You think, oh, no, I've just got forgiveness. No, he says, correct it. You go back a couple of times and tell somebody, you know what? I don't know why I said that. It wasn't like exactly what I said. I said there was, you know, 15 of them. There might have been two or three or this. You do that, that'll put an embarrassment on you. That'll wean you from sucking eggs. Or else you'll just bury that on and bury that on, and you'll have, like, throughout life, you'll have 10 or 15 or 20 things. And you don't have to go back in the past, but you better going forward. If you speak something that the Holy Spirit said, that wasn't the way it was, you better go up. Before you walk off, I got to tell you something. That wasn't the way it was. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. That way you don't have to wrestle 2 months later and say, oh, I want to tell you something. You don't need to have breakdowns like that. Just get it straight right to start with, but that'll wean you from sucking eggs. It will. Character in my church and growth, growing up in my church, is where the sustainable miracles will take place, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. But I'd rather bypass that, Father. I'd rather bypass, this is a person speaking, of course, the continual teaching of character change and growing up, and just see exuberance and miracles. But I say unto you, look unto Mark, look unto Matthew, look unto John, look unto the writings. Find the places where I needed emotion to solicit power. Find those places and present your case before me, says the Spirit of the Lord. But I say unto you, the character growth by which I am coming to you, present tense, and continue to speak to you, this path will produce Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the earth once again, says the Spirit of grace. Amen. Hallelujah. And I kept my word. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time? Yes. Hallelujah. We're trying to be nice to the Plamondons. Not that they've asked it, but hallelujah. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you that we are a church that hears your word, not only written word, but your prophetic word. And we always encourage your people to back it up, to listen to your word, see if there's any discrepancies according to your word. But Father, we thank you and we praise you that your word went out tonight through prophecy. And Lord, we give you all the praise and glory. Bring us together again Sunday for a very powerful meeting in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.